This is Center Stage Minnesota. It's our show at Northern Community Radio where we focus on the talents of Minnesota musicians. Today on the show, we have an interview with Matt Pudis of the band White Iron Band. The band that played on Jermaine Gemberling's most recent release, Generator, is Old Yeller. They're a three-piece. They had been a four-piece previous to that on their previous five or six or seven records, whatever it is. It's got quite a body of work, a very good body of work. It's Rich Madsen's second major project after his first, which was the Glen Russells, existed entirely in the Twin Cities. Old Yeller was formed while he was down there, and then about 2005 he moved up to Sparta, Minnesota, and opened up his, or moved his recording business to there, and there's a lot more that we'll find out about that in a new interview that'll be airing at some point with Rich. He's been a real catalyst on the Iron Range in getting original music to have a resurgence, both in fan interest and in bands working in that area with original music. Going back to his 2003 release called Penance by Old Yeller, this one's mellow, but this one's not real flashy, but it's really a great song, and it really captures, I think, some of the best of what Rich is as a singer and a songwriter. Out in the Sticks from Old Yeller on Center Stage Minnesota.
Still there ain't no denying a place.
Well, that's a short one. 2.5 minutes reeling from Jermaine Gemmerling's most recent release on Chaperone Records out of Duluth. And that one is called Generator. And the band providing the instrumentation and basically the band for Jermaine Gemmerling is Ole Yeller, at least this current formation of it, a three-piece. And we heard from Ole Yeller's 2003 release before that, Penance, with Out in the Sticks to start us off today on Center Stage, Minnesota. Well, we're going to head into that interview with the White Iron Band. I talked to Matt Putis, who was one of the key guys in forming the band. There was about four main members that are in this band, and then a rotating, fluctuating cast of other band members. It's a pretty full song and a pretty full band. They were formed in Ely, and, well, about 15 years ago, Matt Putis went up there after he graduated from Eden Prairie High School and went to Vermilion Community College, and that's where they got together. They've had a reputation at their shows for being the party as well as the band. Accounts are that the White Iron Band's live shows are definitely something to see, any one of them potentially representing a singular experience. But these guys are still free swingers, and that could put, you know, if you want to go to a baseball analogy, they're free swingers that could put one out of the park at any time. They're not as predictable as, or maybe unpredictable as they once were, depending on how you look at it. Though there's a central creative personality in this band, the White Iron Band, and songwriter in Matt Putis, the appeal and the music feels like it probably wouldn't be there without the collaboration. After Matt brings a song idea to the rest of the band, the thick sound and layered arrangements in White Iron Band songs are blueprints that are turned into a solid home with a ton of character. They involve a serious combination of craftsmanship and an innate sense of what's just plain good.
Down.
That is the White Iron Band. It comes from their 2008 release called Devil's Sweet Revenge. And this record is definitely on the darker side of things in a way that almost makes you feel good. It's so far in that direction. It's just, well, Matt Puttis will address that in this interview. And that one's called Lay Me My Money Down.
Then I went up to college up at Vermilion Community College up in Ely, Minnesota. That's kind of where we got the White Iron Band thing going. Those four guys I mentioned, those guys were all with me in school. So we actually played back in the Eden Prairie and kind of brought that to Ely and really got started playing in the bars at that time.
What made you decide on Ely for a place to go to college?
You know, the outdoors of it all, you know, how beautiful it is up there. I was kind of into that kind of thing and ended up just kind of making it happen and, you know, went up there in 97, 98 and stayed up there for a handful of years and had a lot of friends out there. Some friends are still living up there, so.
Did you intend to have such a large band, or is it kind of more like if you're going to be sleeping on my couch, you better, you know, earn something with that fiddle there?
You know, I've always liked that big sound. You know, I like having a lot of different players. I kind of like in a live show being able to turn to a few guys and, you know, say, take it, you know, or take solos. And I like somewhat of a country music kind of format with the fiddles, kind of either a pedal or a lap steel guitar player. So, yeah, I guess I've always liked the idea of a large band. Just a lot of fun, a lot of people, big sound.
You certainly have that. The White Iron Band song arrangements are mostly pretty straightforward, but at the same time, yep. The instrumentation is so layered and multifaceted, I end up feeling like the arrangements are really actually complicated, more complicated than they probably are,
yeah.
at least in the bones of them. Do you come to the band with some of that worked out in your mind, or is it more like starting with lyrics and then working on the instrumentation together?
Often I'll have the lyrics. And I'll have kind of the bare bones of, you know, of just the chord progression and stuff like that. And then usually when I bring it to the band, we tweak it or kind of fatten it up a little bit or maybe add a part or add a bridge or something to kind of give them a little bit of their own flavor.
The instincts seem really strong about where to, but what, so that's mostly a group effort, how that comes about? Or
I think a lot of the times, you know, too, especially with the albums, we'll kind of play around with, you know, what we want here. Do we want some fiddle here or, you know, or do we want this song to kind of have a keyboard kind of feel to it or we kind of give it a piano rhythm or something like that. So I think a lot of it gets figured out right in the studio when we're kind of making it happen and what can kind of drive the song the best. You know, I think that's kind of how we do it. And often, like I said, just because we kind of got a lot of rotating cast of guys, sometimes things can change live, too. From what you hear it on the album, could have a different sound when we're doing it live.
I think the best bands, some of the best bands in history have approached it that way. I think cover bands, that's one thing they miss, is that even the bands that wrote those songs probably didn't play them that way very often. They didn't play it just like a record, you know.
So. Yep. Yeah, you're probably right. I always look at being in the studio as getting it the way I want it with the right instrumentation. And sometimes I can't always get a pedal steel player to play live with us, or sometimes I don't have the fiddle, so we kind of just improvise as we go. And I think when it's live, you don't need all that. You can capture it sometimes just with the energy of what you got going on stage. But for studio purposes, I really enjoy having some, you know, hired hands with us.
And I think that helps for fans of the band, too. If they want to see you guys repeatedly, it keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
Has the sound changed over the years or the approach?
Yes, I think it has. You know, I've been doing it for 15 years now. So, you know, as you grow, I think you kind of change a bit. But I think one thing we've always had, and I write most of the songs, I guess, would just be, I like kind of having an aggressive feel to it. Stuff that I think would work good live too. And then some songs that I've got on the albums, I barely even know how to play them, or I wouldn't even know the words anymore because I just don't play them that often live. Some songs I think are meant for albums and some are meant for, you know, when you got a lot of people in front of you that kind of want to party. I'd say we always have had the same kind of idea of, you know, I don't think our musical styles have changed that much. We've always liked stuff, but I think the challenge for us is to try to come up with different ways to put that on record so it doesn't sound the same every time. you know, so I think that's kind of maybe why I like having a lot of different players play with us sometimes too. Some people can kind of add a certain flair, or a certain instrument can kind of give you a different sound, and so you're not just repeating yourself all the time. So I think any band that's been around, you know, for even 5 to 10 years, if you made like 2-3 albums, I think after a while you're starting to kind of figure out, okay, we've been there, we've kind of done that, how do we kind of reinvent ourselves a little bit, have a little bit of a different sound, at least for an album.
How much is that maintaining interest for yourself as much as the fans?
I'd say it's probably mostly for myself. You know, I'm pretty critical on my music, so I like to challenge myself, hear different, see what we can do as a band, you know, what avenue we can kind of take it in. I think a good example might be just like the difference between Third Rate Country Star album and our Devil's Street Revenge album. You know, if you listen to both of them, it's the same band, but they take on quite a bit of a different feel, I think, you know, on both albums. And I think people want to hear that too, you know. I'm not positive. Sometimes when you do something a little different, you get some criticism on it, but that's life.
Steady working hand, steady working, a steady mind, that's all I ever ask for in my
Poudis on vocals there. Let's see, we got Sam Wyant, vocals, electric guitars, acoustic guitar, rhythm guitars, and guitar Joe. Eddie Juton in vocals, pianos, organs, and percussion. Greg Hall, vocals, slide guitars, electric guitars, and rhythm guitars. On bass guitar, Tim Powers, and then also in the band, Jeff Underhill, drums and percussion, John Moline on fiddle, and pedal steel guitar, Randy Tyrone Broughton, Mike Raz Russell, a little fiddle on this, and Rich Madsen's in on this record as well. There's a full stage when these guys get on stage, and we talk about that. Well, we just talked about that a little bit. Your songs appear to be very autobiographical. I suppose it's possible you're inhabiting a persona that kind of fits the area of music that you love. Are they pretty autobiographical?
You know, to a degree. Some are, some aren't. You know, I think when you're on stage, sometimes it's almost to a degree it's yourself, but it's also a character that you're kind of playing. And I can write songs in character, you know, for that kind of situation. And I mean, if I lived exactly like all my songs, I'd be dead already. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd have been gone a long time ago. So I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I think any good songwriter can take songs that are about feelings or things that they have about themselves and can kind of contract them into different songs and different characters. You know, you can almost see other people's lives and write songs about that also. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it's, well, we only live one life, but we can observe a lot more than that.
Correct. Yeah, correct. That's a good, very good way to put it. You know, because there's so much happening. It's always, there's a lot of things you can write songs about, but I think personally, I've always liked kind of bluesy, edgier, kind of country blues, edgier kind of music. So I guess I try to stay in that mind frame when I'm writing songs. I never was one for writing too many love songs. They bore me.
It seems at some point in the mid to late 90s, you were at kind of a crossroads. You either form a band or follow Tony Robbins around the way people used to follow the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, you got it.
Have you slowed down at all over the years, personally?
Yeah. I mean, playing, or I mean, we for surely were playing a lot in our younger 20s. You know, I'm 34 now. So I've for surely toned her down, at least with the band. I think we kind of do now what we want to do. We don't really push ourselves too hard. White Iron Band's always kind of just done just enough to try to stay relevant as much as we can. But so all of us have other things going on. You know, we have a lot of kids in the White Iron Band, so that for surely always slows things down a little bit. But personally, if I slowed down, yes and no. I still feel the same as I did when I was younger, but I try to be a little bit smarter, but sometimes that doesn't always work. I think I've changed by not changing too much at all.
The world go by, and I'd hear the what train my daddy's on. Let's say it goodbye.
Just great sensibilities in the way that these guys take what Matt Puttis brings as starting points with lyrics and probably a bone structure, I guess we want to call it, for a song, and the way they work together, and it just seems, it feels so natural, all these songs do. That one is from Damn the Nighttime. It's a great release that was put out last year by White Iron Band, and we heard What Train My Daddy's On. This is Center Stage Minnesota, and Center Stage Minnesota is our show at Northern Community Radio where we put the spotlight on Minnesota musicians. Center Stage Minnesota is made possible with funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Even, you know, if the line between fact and fiction and your songs is sort of in between, it seems like you're kind of drawn naturally to high stakes, risk and reward.
Yeah, for sure. That's for surely my personality. I think it can come through in the songs. And, you know, I just have so much fun just, you know, being on stage. It's just kind of something I really love to do. And, you know, the feeling that you get when things are going, it's for surely a rush. And I don't know if that really means high stakes or high reward, but it's a good way to put it, though. It's a good way to put it.
Your lyrics are, I guess, I was just wondering, and you know, you can keep this private if you want, or you can talk about it if you want.
Yeah.
Is it indicates some challenges in your younger life, and your songs also address some adult troubles and vices. I guess I'm more wondering about your younger life. Was it anything about it that was challenging, continues to be challenging?
Well, you know, we've always liked to have a good time. And I think in our younger days, you could say, finding the fine line between that is always interesting. You know, I think that'll always be something that will be relevant in the White Iron Band. You know, I don't think any of us look at our younger years, you know, as being that, like, dark or bad. I think, you know, sometimes truly with, I think, us, and I can probably speak for the rest of the guys, is that we really just like having fun, you know, and we like partying, and we always have, you know, we always will. We've, you know, I love being in the bars and stuff, so spend a lot of time doing that stuff. You're going to for surely fall into a few pitfalls over the years. I guess back when we were younger, that was probably, was for surely a part of how life was going and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's always, I don't think it's really an issue with us. I think it is, you know, like I said, we've always just had a really good time. And that's just kind of the music I like to write. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think my music is a lot darker than I am as a person. You know what I mean? I mean, have I got, you know, over the years bombed in pretty much every city in Minnesota? Sure. But we've had a lot of fun doing it. For a while, I think it was even our motto, you know what I mean? But I don't think when we're at home, we're that dark. You know, nobody's going to treatment. Nobody's quit drinking or anything like that. So it hasn't, couldn't have been too bad. But I think if you met us in general, and if you just had listened to, say, like The Devil's Sweet Revenge, the album, I think it's, I was trying to kind of capture something that would be like the darkest, you know, of kind of like a dark point in life. But for the most part, I think that we're all pretty happy people.
Well, the interesting thing about that is, you know, that, and there's a couple songs, less on Damn and Nighttime, but there's a few that run in that direction too. I mean, I personally have gotten into, you know, a lot of really noisy, you know, more on the punk side, but where they're pretty dark.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a while since I've enjoyed stuff as much as I have these CDs that is largely negative and depressing in subject matter. But at the same time, I'm having a good time listening to it. And I think part of that is because the approach isn't wallowing. It's kind of this matter-of-fact approach to the way that you deliver the stories that you're telling. And you really are telling stories in most of the cases.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. Yeah, you know, I can't stand, you know, kind of current to modern country music. It bugs me. There's no grit in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I always
absolutely.
Think that's what I've really wanted to try to bring back if possible with our music. So I think when you're doing that, you have to touch on subject matter that isn't, you know, so fluff. So I think, you know, you kind of nail it there. You know, I think that's kind of what I like, where I like to go, you know, with music.
It almost feels like, you know, if you're going to pin it to any sort of a philosophical concept, I wouldn't call it a celebration of the more troubling aspects of living in this world. I guess probably the feeling I get from it is more like a cynical laugh sort of almost at human existence.
You're nailing it on the head. That's exactly, I think I can't even comment on that. That's exactly what it is.
Well, there's a lot of universals. I think that's why it's so appealing, too, is that even though you're telling a story that is presented as a personal story, there's stuff in there. Even if nobody out there is living life quite that hard, there's things that they can identify with.
Correct. Yeah, and I think one of my deals, too, is that I have a lot easier time for some reason. I always have any kind of song that I write. I just have an easier time putting it in first person than, you know, creating names and writing a storyline based on characters. I have a easier time just putting it as saying me or writing it like I wrote it or I'm singing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think I probably should work harder at not doing that, but that's kind of, I think, how I've categorized my own stuff, kind of like that. I do a lot of that where I just put it in the first person, even if it's not really about me.
Well, I don't consider that necessarily a problem. I mean, it's not deceptive. And writers in all areas have to do that. You know, there's a negotiation there. So it just goes right along with being a writer in general.
Yeah.
What in life do you find to be profound, if anything?
Well, you know, I'm kind of a family kind of guy. You know, I do the best I can. And I got a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and I got twins coming in December. So surely that. And then, you know, I also have a roofing company that I've owned for a long time. And I like working outside. I like being outside. And I like being on stage. You know, family, work, and music kind of seem to take up about 99% of my time. All three of those things, that's really kind of what my life is.
Thanks to Matt Puttis for joining me here on Center Stage Minnesota. Well, we got one song left coming up from White Iron Band. Here's one from Devil's Sweet Revenge. It's the title track, and I really love the bravado of this one because the song sort of implies that he's pulled one over on the devil and he hasn't been able to, and the devil himself hasn't been able to catch up with him quite yet.
Damn me for the things I've done, Lord, it's too late to change. Before that bridge was a burden down, well, I had so much to say. Well, a sinner's dream, sinner's scheme, all dancing.
me, boy, I ain't the one to blame.
White Iron Band, title track to Devil's Sweet Revenge, 2008 release from that band. Here's the Slamming Doors with Move So Slow on Center Stage Minnesota on Northern Community Radio.
Thank you. surface of my pride. Don't hide in the back page of your mind. Soon we'll all be dead and gone. Soon the bones and dust is one, you know. Well, it's only a matter of time till it all falls down, falls down. You move so slow. Well, you can't change the way the wind's gonna blow. Love is not a question mark. It's a rolling light and water's dark, you know. Yeah, the good kind of love can only carry so long the weight of you. You keep the center of emotion in a hole deep enough to bury you. Don't roll your
Well, the Bad Companions there with a cover of Jesus and Tequila, a song originally put out by the Minutemen on their Double Nickels on the Dime classic double record release. That appears on the Bad Companions What Me Worry release from 2013. We heard from the Slammin' Doors before that here on Center Stage Minnesota. Taking us out of this edition of Center Stage Minnesota, we're going back to 2001 with Kevin Bowe and the Okemah Prophets from a Buick 6.
Keep me warm. Yeah.